Every 100 Years by Darth Stitch. Read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Every 100 years, the devil and the man he cursed with immortality meet up in a certain tavern. Jessamy likes to follow along when the museum guides give their tours. It gives her something to do while Mummy's working with the paintings. At least that was if Jessamy wasn't in school. Her mummy restores old paintings, brings them back like they were good as new. Most kids found that boring, but Jessamy didn't. She liked some of the stories Mummy would tell about those paintings. Of course, Jessamy couldn't be there the whole time because it was fiddly, fussy work, and Mummy needed to concentrate. Today, Jessamy is trailing along a group that included a few kids close to her own age. They stopped in front of a painting that Jessamy recognized as one that her mummy had recently restored. "The Devil in the Tavern," the museum guide proclaimed with a dramatic flourish. "There's a rather spooky story attached to this, just in time for All Hallows' Eve. Don't worry, the painting itself isn't cursed, though. We keep those kind of paintings decently covered up. We wouldn't want to lose our guests now, would we?" There was nervous laughter among the visitors, and the children giggled.
"He doesn't look like the devil," protested one very little girl. "He looks like a prince in a fairy tale."
"Yeah, he's supposed to have horns or scary burning eyes. That's what my nan says another little boy.
Jessamy had to agree. The devil looked rather handsome in his old-fashioned dark blue suit, with pale skin, bright blue eyes, and long dark curly hair tumbling over his shoulders. There was a ruby set in the ruffles at his neck. Mummy called that a cravat, rather like an old-fashioned necktie.
"Well," said the guide, "if he had horns and scary eyes, he wouldn't be able to sit all nice and quiet in a tavern, eh? The story goes that the devil and the cursed soldier would meet in a certain tavern every 100 years.
Jessamy listened as the museum guide continued to spin their story about dreadful bargains made for immortality, a clever soldier who'd bested the devil in a card game and won riches beyond imagination, and how every 100 years the two of them would meet and plot and ensnare more unwary, greedy souls to drag off to hell. The grown-ups chuckled, and Jessamy heard one stop. "Stuff and nonsense." But that was grown-ups for you. Some of them didn't like a good story, even if it was clearly all made up. She lingered in front of the painting a while longer, even as the guide finished their tale and led the group to other paintings and things to see, moving on to different stories. There was something about this painting that was oddly familiar to her. Something about the look in the devil's eyes that seemed more sad to her, rather than sinister.
"That is not the devil at all," said a deep, resonant voice just behind her. "And that soldier was never cursed."
Jessamy turned to see a tall, thin young man standing there. He was dressed entirely in black, black coat, black pants, black combat boots, which went perfectly well with his black hair and snow-white skin. He kind of looked like Wednesday Addams' older brother, which made her smile inwardly.
"Did the guide make it all up, then?"
Jessamy asked. The man shook his head.
"No. They told the story as they knew it. Stories tend to change as they're told over the years, but they will always go back to their original forms in time."
"Who was he really? What's the real story, then?"
Jessamy asked.
"He is the king of all night's dreaming,"
the man answered, a small smile playing about his lips.
"He was rather proud, a little too full of himself at times. Since he knew the dreams and hopes of all humanity, he fancied that he knew all that he should of mortals. His sister, who was very wise and quite kind, decided to teach him otherwise."
"How? And who was his sister?"
"His sister was Death, and she pointed out the soldier to him, who was rather deep in his cups at the time. The man proclaimed to all and sundry that he had no plans of ever dying. She decided then and there that she would grant him his wish. He would not die unless he finally wanted it. The Lord of Dreams believed that he would be begging for Death's gift in a century, and so they made a wager about it. Still quite haughty, he swept up to the soldier and told him the news, and invited him to meet at that same tavern in 100 years. "Aye, stranger," the soldier said quite cheerfully. "We'll see you in 100 years, then."
Jessamy found herself spellbound by the man's voice and the way he told his tale. She hadn't realized that the two of them were now sitting on one of the benches in front of the portrait. There were other children now who were obviously listening as well, and they'd settled down on the floor around them.
"So, did they see each other in 100 years?
The man nodded.
"The Dream Lord expected, of course, for the man to beg him for death, for much had happened to him in the past century. He had fought in many battles, he had seen much of suffering and pain, and many, many horrors."
The man paused and shook his head, looking rueful.
"But when the Dream Lord asked him to tell his story, the man told him about the wondrous invention of chimneys."
Jessamy and the other children giggled.
"And handkerchiefs."
More laughter. The man shook his head at them mock sternly.
"He'd lived through a time when there were no such things, and people would sicken and die from inhaling the smoke of a poorly ventilated hearth, and used their sleeves to blow their noses and any other number of things that were, well..."
He paused meaningfully, with mischief in his eyes, and the children laughed harder.
"Ew! I don't want any bogies on my sleeves," declared one little girl. "Mummy takes me to put tissues in my pocket," said a little boy. "Didn't they have tissues then?"
"No, they didn't," said Jessamy, trying not to roll her eyes. These kids were a lot younger than she was, with their parents distracted looking at all the paintings.
At least, sitting here with her and the storyteller, they weren't running wild.
"No, indeed there weren't. Hence the handkerchiefs. To the soldier, all these things were marvelous things. When he spoke to the King of Dreams about his life, it was always the new things that he spoke of, and there was such wonder and amazement in his tone that he had lived to see such miracles, and that he hoped he would live to see many more. And so, when the Dream Lord asked if he still wished to live, he answered, 'Yes.' Thus the king lost his wager with the sister. But he was, as I've said, very proud. And he was now quite intrigued with this fellow, with his talk of chimneys and handkerchiefs. And so they agreed to meet once more at that tavern in 100 years.
The man continued to weave the story of the King of Dreams and the immortal man, how they would meet at the tavern to listen to the man tell him of the wonders he'd seen in the previous century, how he'd risen from his own humble origins as a peasant soldier to become rich and gain a title of his own, with a wife, a son, and a baby on the way. How in the very next meeting, the Dream Lord would again meet the immortal, but this time he would see him poor and starving, having lost everything. His wealth, his wife and babe, and finally his dear son. Jessamy gulped. She couldn't imagine how horrible that was. She loved her mummy very much and didn't even want to think about losing her.
Did he still want to live?
The Dream Lord felt quite sorrowful when he'd beheld the man and heard his tale of woe. It had started out as a silly game between him and his sister, but this was now more than just a game to them both.
Briefly, the storyteller closed his eyes, as if lost in memory, and then took a breath and started again.
You see, the Dream Lord also knew much of loss and suffering and pain. There were times when he felt he would break under the weight of it, but he endured, for he had a duty to fulfill. There was no one else to carry the burden for him. So he asked the man, with a heavy heart, if he had still wanted to live. Perhaps he would offer this man a final dream to ease his way, a vision of the family he had lost to comfort him. The dream lord thought to himself that he would miss this man and his stories, but it was only to be expected. Humans could only endure so much pain. This was why his sister bestowed her gift to humanity. They were only too glad to see her in the end. But once more, the man surprised him.
"Are you mad?" the man told him. "Death's a mug's game. I've got so much to live for."
So much hope still in him. How extraordinary.
The storyteller shook his head, an expression of wonder on his face.
"Did they meet again? The King of Dreams and the Immortal Man?" Jessamy asked.
"Did he get all better?"
asked another little girl. The man nodded. He continued to tell them the immortal's adventures, how he had done deeds both good and terrible, how he had learned from those dire mistakes that had haunted his dreams and nightmares, which would have broken other men before him. And yet he had always looked forward, tried to do better, and dreamed, always, to what new and wondrous thing the future would bring him, what stories he would tell the King of Dreams once they met again.
All that, and still, the immortal did not truly know who the King of Dreams was, not even his name.
Jessamy blinked.
"Why? Weren't they friends already?"
The man laughed softly.
"As I've said, the King of Dreams was a rather arrogant creature."
"He's very silly," Jessamy declared. "I'd rather like to be friends with someone who lives forever like that. And I'd see him more than just once in 100 years.
"Then you are far wiser than the King of Dreams, little one, and a much better friend."
"Maybe the King of Dreams was afraid," Jessamy ventured. "I think he was lonely. He just didn't want to admit."
"He was very lonely and quite afraid. He had reason to be, for terrible things would happen to the people he loved. He did not want the same thing to happen to this man, his friend, who had become very dear to him, dearest and best beloved."
"And how does the story end? Do they still meet in that tavern every 100 years?
"How do you think the story ends, little Jessamy?"
Jessamy blinked. She wasn't sure if she'd told this man her name, but there was something in those extraordinary blue eyes, a look that was warm and kind and knowing. Again, there was that nudge of familiarity to it, something that scratched at the edge of memory.
"You're the storyteller," she told him archly. "You should know."
"Perhaps they still meet even now, though the tavern is no longer there. They meet someplace new, a place that the immortal has built for his errant friend, a safe place where they can sit and drink and spend time together. Perhaps they meet a little more often than 100 years, because the immortal man still has many stories to tell, and the King of Dreams himself has learned his own lessons. Perhaps the immortal now knows his friend's name and asks the Dream Lord to tell his own story, as I tell it to you now."
The storyteller smiled, and Jessamy finally tried not to think very hard about how the man looked exactly like that painting that was in front of them.
"There you are, Duck," said another man walking up to them. He was only slightly shorter than the man in the black, broad-shouldered. and with a warm brown eyes and the kindest smiled. He paused in front of them, took in the scene of Jessamy and the children with amusement. "Telling stories again, are we? Do I know this one?"
"You know it quite well, dearest," the storyteller said, standing up to walk towards his companion. "I am rather fond of this particular tale, after all."
"And how does this one end?"
"I think it ends happily ever after," Jessamy spoke up, looking at the two of them.
She was suddenly very sure that she knew who they were.
"That's how the best stories end."
"There you go, love, out of the mouths of babes," said the immortal man, who had been a peasant, a soldier, a lord, a beggar, and many things more in all the centuries he'd lived. He leaned over to brush a kiss against the storyteller's pale cheek, smiled when that kiss was briefly returned, soft and sweet.
"As you say,"
the storyteller nodded regally at her.
"Farewell, little Jessamy. Dream well."
Jessamy watched the king of all nights dreaming and his immortal walk away hand in hand. She grinned. She was quite glad that her Lord Morpheus had found happiness at long last. The end. Footnote the first. A photo showed up on social media with the caption, "Tell me you're immortal without telling me you're immortal." It was the photo of a man dressed entirely in black, and a little girl sitting in front of an old portrait in the museum. There were other children in the background. The man's resemblance to the subject of the portrait was uncanny. Footnote the second. Certain students of one Professor Robert Gadling immediately recognized the immortal of the picture as the good professor's goth angel boyfriend. The reactions, of course, were predictable. Of note was this particular comment. "Holy shit! Professor G married to Edward Cullen, confirmed!" The Hellfire Club, who of course knew the truth, collectively facepalmed. Notes. Justice for Jessamy! This one's for you, kid.